May God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen. Before I get started here, I just want to say that while I was working on this sermon, I realized that it was a year ago that I first started coming here to St. Peter's and working among you. And
Luke's.
St. Luke's.
Want to get away?
I have youth group on my mind, I'm sorry, and we're doing a mission trip with St. Peter's, and so it's been in my head. Let's start again. While I was working on this sermon, I realized that it was a year ago that I started at St. Luke's. And I am so grateful for all the way that you've embraced me in my ministry, in your laughter, when I've stumbled, for all your love and support. And I feel so blessed that it's here in December, God willing, that I will be made a priest. Thank you. Now, several years ago, my friend Jenny was quite sure that she had found the man of her dreams. Bubbling over with excitement, she hurried over to me at a party to show me the beautiful ring glistening on her finger. And she said, "Isn't it wonderful?" And I nodded and smiled, "Of course, congratulations." But having spent a good deal of time with the two of them and feeling this was a match made in hell, I began plotting how I was going to keep myself from running down the aisle like some scene out of The Graduate, saying, "No, don't do it," when the priest said, "Is there anyone here who has just cause why these two should not be married? Speak now or forever hold your peace." I behaved myself. And they married, and a few years later, divorced. And I remember Jenny saying, I'm having trouble with names today, Jenny saying to me, "Why didn't you say something?" And mustering all the patience I could, I said, "Because you wouldn't have listened. I wouldn't have been heard." In Mark's gospel, Jesus is answering the Pharisees' latest rounds of great ideas to test him. And this time, the subject du jour were the laws around marriage and divorce. "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" they asked. And Jesus throws it right back on them and said, "What did Moses command you?" Now, the Mosaic law did allow a husband to divorce his wife. And the Romans, God bless them, the wife could divorce the husband. But Jesus tells them that it was due to their hardness of heart that these laws existed. "And what God has joined together, let no one separate." What God has joined together. How do we know where God is leading us and to whom? Apparently, the folks living in Jesus' day had a hard time with this, so hence the law. But are we any different today? Is this gospel telling us about marriage or something more? Jesus is talking about relationship, all right, but as he is wont to do, he's using marriage as a metaphor for something larger than whether my friend Jenny should have gotten a divorce. Jesus is talking about what is of God and what is of humanity. Humans make decisions all the time. Who to form a relationship with, where to live, what vocation they're going to do. But how do we know if we're really hearing God and what God wants for us? Or thinking in human terms, as Jesus once said to Peter. To hear, we must listen. Really listen. And we're not very good at listening. Not to each other and certainly not to God. These days, when we turn on the news at night, apparently the way to discuss something is to yell at each other until the other person gives up. Is that what we call dialogue, discussion, and debate in our time? I remember watching former President Reagan's funeral many years ago, and as his wife Nancy was entering the church, clearly in distress, clearly a very poignant moment no matter which side of the aisle you were on, the commentators kept prattling on and on and on. Apparently, it seemed it was more important to tell us what was happening and how we should feel about it than to let us step into that space ourselves. Are we that afraid of silence? We seem in this day to fill every moment with music, television, phone calls, any white noise we can find. And yet God asks us to be still and know that I am. We can't hear each other if we're talking or listening to something else, and we certainly can't hear God. So what are we to do? How can we embrace sacred listening in our lives? Jesus gives us a hint. As Jesus often does, he offers to his followers an explanation of what he was just saying to others. After the encounter with the Pharisees, Jesus and his disciples are in a home. When he welcomes the children in the house to him, he tells his disciples, "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." As a little child. Now, children are funny, aren't they? I mean, if you've never been to the 9 a.m. service, you're really missing out. You got to just stop in sometime because they're just amazing with the way that they think and move and act. The kids today, they'll have monsters in the closet, under the bed, invisible friends and rabbits. They see and feel so much. Is that it? Could it be that simple? You see, children sense and see things that we adults don't, and we're so quick to box in their experiences to teach them that not to trust these things, that it's just their imagination. A friend of mine, Judy, who's both a priest and a psychotherapist, told me this story about what happened at her father's after her father's funeral. They were at the repast in the house, and her little niece came in, running in, and said, "Grandpa told me to tell you all something." Judy rushed over to her, sensing that, as the others would, and as we all seem to do, they might dismiss this announcement from the girl as just the product of an overactive imagination. After all, Grandpa had just died. And kneeling down to her niece's level, she said, "Debbie, when did Grandpa talk to you?" "Outside, just now. I was playing and he came right up to me." "Well, what did Grandpa say?" "He said that he was all right, and that we didn't need to worry about him, and that he'd be watching out for us. I wanted him to play in the sandbox, but he said he had to go. Can I go out and play now?" Imagine what would have been lost if the adults in the room had been able to convince that girl that what she saw was just her imagination. Imagine. "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." As adults, we abandon the openness and fearlessness of childhood and replace it with logic, analysis, and sensibility. Things that don't fit in the mold we cast aside, and people who hold on to their childlike wonder we greet with suspicion. The comedian Lily Tomlin once said, "Why is it that when we talk to God, we are said to be praying, but when God talks to us, we're said to be schizophrenic?" Jesus is asking us to open our hearts as a child so that we might hear each other and God. This isn't a lesson necessarily condemning divorce, but about opening our hearts to where we are called in our relationships, our vocations, our neighborhoods, and in our faith communities. We're being asked to unplug and disconnect from the noise of life and listen, really listen. We're being asked to move our inner child to the forefront and embrace every moment as a child does. Because when we do, we'll be open to experiencing God in our midst. In the book, Listening Hearts, Discerning God's Call and Community, we're reminded that call comes in all shapes and sizes, and no one call is superior to another. The authors write, "People call us to get our attention, to make contact with us, to draw us closer to them. So it is with God. A call may come as a gradual dawning of God's purpose for our lives. It can involve an accelerating sense of inner direction. It can emerge through a gnawing feeling that we need to do a specific thing. Call may be emphatic and unmistakable, or it may be obscure and subtle. In whatever way call is experienced through the centuries, God has chosen to speak to us and bids us to listen. As Christians, we need to open our hearts to where God is calling us. Today, we launch our stewardship season, where we will hear testimonials about why people give to support the work of this parish. And next week at Coffee Hour, many of the 65 ministries and groups of this parish will be on display. This is the church alive, and it's calling you. It's calling you. I urge you to walk around next week, engage with those who are there to share their ministry with you, and then open your heart and listen. In this season of stewardship, listen to where God is calling you as a member of this parish family. Pray about it. Listen for the ways in which you are being called to engage in and empower the ministries of your parish family. Because God is looking for us to step forward with excitement, imagination, and the expectation of a child to truly live the life to which each of us are called. Now, as for my friend Jenny, she opened her heart to who she really is as a child of God and what God was calling her to. And when she did, she met and married the love of her life. She and her partner, Susan, have adopted a lovely little girl and will soon celebrate their 10th wedding anniversary. And what God has joined together, let no one separate. Amen.